Chow back with you on Mixed Bag with my special guest this morning, Tom Rush.
Drop down, mama, let you, daddy, see you got something there, baby, keeps on worrying me. My mama don't allow me to fool around all night long. She said you might be too young, son. Some woman might treat you wrong. You know, Jack of Diamonds told that Queen of Spades. Said you come on, baby, start your creeping ways. Careful, mama. You get away from my window. You stop scratching on my screen. You're an evil woman, and I know just what you mean. My mama don't allow me to all night long. She said you might be too young, son. City women, they should make me tired. They got a handful of gimme and a mouthful of much obliged. My mama don't allow me to boogie all night long. She said you might be too young, Tom. Some woman might treat you wrong. I said, come on, mama. 65 years old. Wanna have some fun tonight? Oh, drop down, mama, let you, daddy, see you got something there, little girl, keeps on worrying me. My mama don't allow me to fool around all night long. She said you might be too young, son.
Tom Rush, happy holidays and welcome back to Mixed Bag.
It's great to be here, Pete.
That sounds like one of those songs that has been a part of your repertoire for a long time. Is that a good guess?
That's a very good guess. I learned that up in Cambridge about 20 years ago, hanging around the Club 47, which was the flagship of the Boston folk scene, and I learned it from a guy named Sleepy John Estes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All us baby folk singers would hang around the Club 47, and the older guys would come through, and we'd all run in and steal their chords and steal their songs.
And have you found that it has gone full circle?
Well, it has. It's kind of nice to see. I'm apparently now one of the old guys. I'm not as old as John was. I mean, he was 65.
Uh-huh.
But it's I'm starting to see college-age faces in the audience, people taking a lot of notes, getting down the words. And that's nice, because that's the way the music is passed along.
Sure. Well, actually, the Club 47 looms in your present as well as your past, does it not?
It does. We're about to have the 25th birthday party for the club. The actual club closed some time ago, but the spirit lingers on, and we're doing three nights at Symphony Hall Boston, a festival, three-night festival, celebrating the strength and health of folk music in the 80s, getting some of the original cast from the club back together along with some of the bright new faces on the folk scene today.
All right. Well, we will certainly send along all of our good wishes from down here for this three-day event. Now, this is a continuation of another tradition as well, which perhaps we should talk about for our listeners who don't know. You've been doing these Symphony Hall shows now this time of year.
Right. Right in between Christmas and New Year's. This will be the fourth year, and it does seem to have become kind of an instant institution in the New England community.
What was the genesis of it all, Tom?
Well, I was 4 years ago struggling with where to find how to get together with my audience. I had a feeling I had an audience out there that wasn't coming to hear me in the rock clubs and places like that. In fact, I'd failed to sell out the local rock club a year before. And so having failed to sell 500 seats at $7, I decided to go into Symphony Hall and try to sell 2,500 seats at double the price.
Perfectly logical.
Made perfect sense to me. Everybody was kind of giggling about Rush has lost his marbles. And I just had a hunch it would work. I didn't know that it was going to work as well as it did. It sold out 10 days in advance. And the next year we did two nights. And the following year we did two nights. And this time we're going to go for three nights, and I'm happy to report they're all sold out.
At that point, it was instinct, obviously, but it has now been confirmed by facts. What are some of those facts, Tom?
Well, my crowd, and I think a lot of the folk music audience, have grown out of their teenage years and don't respond to the merchandising and marketing methods that the record industry and a large part of the concert industry use. They didn't want to go hear me at the rock club. They didn't go to rock clubs anymore. But they were willing to go to Symphony Hall, eager to go to Symphony Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an elegant place. They treat you right. People show you to your seats. And there's this parking next door. And this, you know, there are all kinds of little features that it has that would appeal to this crowd.
And as I often say, unlike the big arenas, the odds are pretty good that no one is going to spit up on your shoes.
Oh, yeah. It's very well-behaved, genteel kind of. It's fun, but there's no rowdiness to worry about.
That's right. That's a definite consideration these days. I have a whole bunch of questions in my mind. The first one is, who are some of the people who are going to be with you for this special celebration of Club 47 this year?
I'm getting the jug band back together. There's so many, we can't hit them all. But the jug band's coming. Eric von Schmidt, Spider John Kerner, Claudia Schmidt, and Bill Morrissey are the bright new faces for that night, Thursday night, opening night. Buskin and Bateau will be there all three nights, I'm happy to report.
Ah, terrific. Favorites of ours down here, as you may know.
I'm obviously playing them as favorites of mine up there.
Great.
And we're getting the Charles River Valley Boys back together. They were a local band comprised entirely of amateurs. A lot of the original cast, by the way, Pete, are no longer performing. The Cambridge folk scene was very much an amateur scene in the 60s. Everybody was on their way to being a psychopharmacologist or this, that, or the other thing. And most of them have gone, in fact, on to be other things. We were just playing music for the fun of it. I'm one of the few that went on to have a career in music. So some of these names probably aren't recognizable.
Uh-huh.
But a fellow named Jack Washington Landrone was very popular at the club. He's now an actor living here in New York. He'll be there. Bill Staines, Keith and Rooney are coming. Peter Rowan, Jonathan sure. Edwards. My wife Beverly will be doing some songs again. Mimi Farina is coming. It's going to be quite a party.
It sounds like a great party. And hopefully, once again, the results will be committed to vinyl.
We'll be taping all three nights. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if we managed to squeeze an album out.
Much like your last album, New Year, which was recorded at one of those events.
Right.
Your latest album is as well. Why don't we listen to the title track and then talk about it a little bit?
Sounds good.
This is Tom Rush, Late Night Radio on Mixed Bag at WNEW-FM.
in Omaha, there's truckers in Des Moines, all there to keep me company in the early morn. There's a world unknown to daytime that's forever going on. The airwaves of our nation between midnight and the dawn. Late night radio, take it everywhere I go. Best friend when I'm lonely is my late night radio. Well, I'll turn the dial a little past 101.2 in time to catch the news and see who's shooting who. And I'll hunt around for old songs, they're so good to hear again. You think of how it was, imagine how it might have been. Late night radio, take it everywhere I go. Best friend when I'm lonely is my late night lady. Late night radio, take it everywhere I go. Best friend when I'm lonely is my late night radio.
That is Tom Rush and the title track from his brand new album, Late Night Radio, at 1027 WNEW-FM in New York. Tom, what can you tell me about the recording? Is this last year's?
That's last winter's. It's, for the first time, I'm including some other artists on the record. It's got Steve Goodman's last recording of City of New Orleans, which is wonderful. Mimi Farina's doing a song. Buskin and Bateau have a couple of songs. And also, as with the last album, it's not being sold in stores. Your listeners can avoid some frustration by not even bothering to look. It's being sold strictly through mail.
Where would they look in this area?
We're advertising in the New Yorker. I'm not sure if we have an ad in the current issue, but if not, it was in a week or so ago.
Okay, if you have the New Yorker hanging around your magazine rack at home, be sure and check that out. I'm probably sure you've seen it already if you don't have it in your record collection, the new Tom Rush album, Late Night Radio. The concept for the title, Tom, maybe you should talk a little about that.
Well, folk music has always been a rather fragile kind of music. You can't play it effectively in stadiums or rock clubs, and it's always taken a special kind of environment. And in the 60s, it was folk. Folk was best heard in coffee houses and on a few late night radio shows around the country. And in the 80s, again, it seems to be, for me anyway, places like Symphony Hall, rather polite, elegant halls. And again, around the country, there are people in various cities that have, on the radio, radio folks like yourself, who have taken up the cause and are helping to put people, artists, together with their audiences. You're obviously the leader in the field in New York, and I thank you for your role.
I certainly appreciate that association, Tom. You know, and I like to think of it both ways. I mean, some people think of this as an early morning radio show, but if you want to stretch the point,
you want to stay up, it could be late.
Could be a real late night radio show for some Saturday type people as well. There's another song on the album that has my curiosity because it is written by another one of my favorite performers who doesn't really perform in the conventional sense these days. Why don't you tell our listeners who I'm talking about?
Well, this is a Jake Holmes tune, and it's whimsical in the extreme. Jake is currently, he's still writing, but he's writing jingles for the most part, and I don't know how much he's performing. It was his birthday on this particular date a year ago, and he was at Symphony Hall and came up on stage with us, and if you listen closely, you can hear him off among the background vocals. But it's a tune that he wrote, almost a hymn, called Beam Me Up, Scotty.
A Jake Holmes song from the Late Night Radio album by Tom Rush on Mixed Bag at WNEW-FM.
Sitting here in my jockeys, my last clean pair of socks, just me, a bud, some Fruit Loops, reruns on the Magnavox. There's
a pile of final notices in my mailbox. Now the president, he's telling me the recession came and went. Nobody got broke. We only got bent. So how come my phone's still off and I can't pay my rent? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Love it. That's from the brand new album by Tom Rush, Late Night Radio. It's a song written by Jake Holmes entitled "Beam Me Up, Scotty." It's one of those lines that has passed into the language now, you know?
It has. I'm seeing bumper stickers.
"Beam Me Up, Scotty." That's terrific. I wanted to ask you earlier, Tom, this was like a real starting from scratch learning process for you. You mentioned earlier the shock of realizing that somehow through the conventional means you had lost touch with your audience. Reestablishing that contact was not merely a product of performing. You had to go well beyond those boundaries as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It's been quite an adventure. I've started my own record company that these records have come out on. I've now got an organization of about 20 people. We're looking for venture capital. Folk singer seeks venture capital. I enjoy the irony of that, but there's a lot of other things that can be done and ought to be done. We're starting to represent some other artists in terms of bookings and hopefully in terms of recording. And it's been quite a learning process, but it's been a whole lot of fun.
Did you at one point literally go back to school for some of this?
I didn't go back to school, but I did enlist the aid of some friends. I'm in a bit of a unique position in that I went to Harvard, graduated from Harvard, and have connections with some of the best minds in the country at the Harvard Business School. I wasn't a business school grad. I was an English lit major, but I'm working with folks at the business school in Boston University who know an awful lot more about marketing and, you know, research and stuff than I do. And they've been extremely helpful in helping to structure our efforts.
Mm-hmm. There is a quote in the brochure for the Symphony Hall concerts this year that I'd like to run by you. It says, "Every 20 years or so, folk music bubbles up and becomes, quote, popular. It happened in the 20s, the 40s, the 60s. Now it's coming around in the 80s. You want to expand on that just a little bit, Tom, and tell us some of the evidence that you would cite?
Well, one of the things there that isn't quite articulated is that folk music, American folk music, forms the basis of most pop music. The Rolling Stones are indebted to Robert Johnson and the Chicago bluesmen. Willie Nelson is indebted to the cowboy tradition. Bruce Springsteen to Woody Guthrie. Johnny Cash to the Appalachian ballad tradition. It forms really the foundation. Folk forms the foundation of an awful lot of pop music. And it's never very far from the surface. But periodically, it seems to become pop music. And the Weavers and Seeger, Guthrie in the 40s, the whole Cambridge and New York folk boom of the 60s. And now in the 80s, you're doing a great service with this show, but the success of the show indicates that there is an audience out there that wants to hear the kind of music you play.
And performers, both veteran and newcomer, making it.
Right.
Making it.
So the music is there, the audience is there, and the challenge is to find bridges between them, and you're doing that very well.
Let me unleash a surprise on you. We polled the audience some months ago for a show that I'll be doing next week, in fact, a program of what we are terming mixed bag classics, songs that quintessentially describe the feeling of the program or fit the program. From that poll, two of your songs kept coming up again and again and again. One of them was the one you performed on your last visit here, No Regrets. Can you guess what the other is?
I have a feeling you're setting me up here.
You got it. It ties in so beautifully with the time of the year and this wonderful season and your second visit with us. Would you do Urge for Going, Tom?
Sure thing. Day and found the frost perched on the town. It hovered in a frozen sky, gobbled summer down. When the sun turns traitor cold, shivering trees are standing in a naked row. I get the urge for going, and I never seem to go. And I get the urge for going. Summertime is falling down, winter closing in. And I had a girl in summertime with summer colored skin. Heart could win. When the leaves fell trembling down and bully winds did rub their faces in the snow, she got the urge for going. To let her go, and she got the urge for going. When the meadow grass was turning brown, summertime was falling down, winter closing in. Fire with kindling, pull the blankets to my chin, and I'll lock the vagrant winter out, and bolt my wandering in. I'd like to call back summertime, have her stay for just another month or so. She's got the urge for going. I guess she'll have to go. And she gets the urge for going when the meadow grass is turning.
Christmas, Tom Rush, and All Good Things in 1985.
Happy New Year.